When I was 12 years old, the summer before my 13th birthday, I touched my younger sister, who was 8. And when I say touched, I touched her. My skin made contact with her vagina. My mom called a Christian counselor and wanted to get help. And then at the end of the call said, well, we're required by law to report all this information over to Child Protective Services. Well, the next day, I was arrested, and that began 3.5 years of incarceration. And I got out when I was 17.
Today I was hosting my very first sex offender brunch. I invited a couple of guys on the registry, and I wanted them to meet my friends in the press. Not because I am pro-sex offender, but because there are so many people with this label, sex offender, who pose no threat to children whatsoever, and I wanted the public to start realizing that.
I find that when people get to know you, they're fundamentally challenged in this identity they have of the sex offender, which is defined by what they've seen in Law and Order, and this person who's like a regular preppy gay white kid that they went to prep school with.
I became comfortable with myself, and so when I realized who I was and society could not define who I was, I'm comfortable meeting anybody. I got out after 3.5 years and then lived life outside on parole until I was 21 and also on the registry. So then I go to high school. Within a few weeks after being released from prison, I'm on the prom committee. I'm an officer of my class, which is really interesting when you think about how that was possible. Google didn't exist back then, which is, you know, we were using Ask Jeeves, and it was like, very hard to type in, is Josh Gravens a sex offender at the time. So you flash forward, and some mom saw this guy who was at the time the senior class president, and in the yearbook I was my class most friendliest person or something along those lines. And so the last 2 weeks of my high school experience, and to say that I love school is probably an understatement, was spent in shame, because all of a sudden people that I had eaten lunch with would no longer sit at the table with me. Teachers who had actively lobbied to try to get me on their academic teams would no longer even acknowledge that I existed. So I go to college. I don't know how many of you are familiar with journalism or what a slow news day is. But in Lubbock, Texas, a slow news day might cause a local journalist to look at the registry. So without my permission or without consulting me, a journalist ran my profile, ran a picture that I was living on Texas Tech University. And at any rate, all of a sudden, death threats were slid under my door. I lived on the dorm. At this time, I was the dorm president. And so I didn't come out of my room for 2 months. I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I definitely didn't want to talk to the police, because the police, once they get involved in a case like mine, the issue transitions from them protecting me to me being investigated. I got married, and then I had kids, and then all of a sudden you have something I did as a 12-year-old that barred me from dropping off my kids at school or picking them up all of a sudden, or volunteering or seeing anything, or going to lunch, anything you might normally do as a parent. It's interesting when you think about, we have a juvenile system, right? But when you're talking about sex offenses, for some reason, this concept of juvenileism or being a youth or a child is just thrown out the window.
When I was 19, I went to prison for what was supposed to have been 6.5 years for having a consensual relationship with a high school age kid. He was 14 and a half. He was someone I had known for a while. It was really close to. So I got to my release date, and they just didn't let me out. They served me with a petition trying to label me a sexually violent predator. And it took 2.5 years past my mandatory prison release date to even get a trial. I sat in solitary confinement all that time, which meant that altogether I served 4.5 of my 9 years behind bars in solitary. What these laws are designed to do is essentially impose a secondary prison sentence.
And while Galen got out, this is in Virginia, how many people are there on civil commitment now?
Right now there are about 368 people that are civilly committed in Virginia.
Are we talking about the whole idea that people are sex offenders is completely misconstrued?
whether it's a case like ours or a really truly egregious case, the policies that we have in effect are not working. 95% of people in prison come home. And so then, as a registrant, I cannot get food stamps, I cannot live in Section 8, I cannot get any assistance or housing or jobs. And we keep driving them down in the ground. And so, you know, the world is no safer for it.
The vast majority of child sexual abuse is committed by somebody who's known to the offender. Usually it's a family member or a close friend. And this is 95% of child sexual abuse, right? It's not being committed by somebody that's ever been convicted of something. So if we actually care about protecting our kids, we're missing the opportunity to do that by focusing on marginalizing people in the community who are presenting a very low risk to commit new offenses.
Journalist is where this began, and I think journalism is where this ends. And so we hope that we can give you the perspective that this is a human issue, and it's so important to remember that.